on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. We sell delicious sandwiches that you will like, and you should get one. Subway. So much sandwich.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Welcome back to The National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, another group that's been, you talk about some groups that have been busy with these hurricanes.
Oh, man.
Operation Blessing. David Darg is the VP of International Disaster Relief. Oh, man, how would you feel about that title right now?
You're not getting much rest, are you?
David, how are you doing?
Well, if I sound exhausted, yeah. It's because I've been flat out for the last few weeks. Well, now that's what I do.
And you rode Irma out in Florida, right?
Yeah, we were up in Central Florida, well, North Central, Gainesville, thinking that we'd be relatively safe up there, and I actually ended up getting a tree fall on the house right above my head, which woke me up at 4 a.m., so.
Wow.
Yeah, no part of Florida was spared.
Yeah, I mean, this is an unprecedented thing where the entire state, you know, I saw where they had these C-130s that the National Guard or somebody was operating, and they had those that they had to move to Georgia because that was usually their staging area in Florida.
Right.
But the entire state was under attack.
I know a lot of people in Florida located in different areas of the state.
How is John Hamilton, our buddy, doing in Jacksonville?
John said, he doesn't live in Jacksonville anymore.
Oh, that's right.
He lives over towards the Destin area.
Yeah.
So he said he got rain and wind, but he was okay.
Okay,
good. Other people I know, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dave, what is Operation Blessing as far as what you guys are doing there? What is your main goal?
Well, we're getting relief supplies out to as many people as we can. Operation Blessing is really well set up. We have a warehouse in Central Florida in Ocala that we use all the time for our food network. We have semi-trailers and trucks that go around America all year long delivering food to food banks. So we actually had those trailers loaded up in advance of the storm, ready to roll out. So the day after the storm passed, we were out on the road with tractor trailers full of food, water, and hygiene supplies and distributing them to partners of ours. And then assessing where is needed most. I mean, the whole state has destruction, but not everywhere is as bad. And the storm was strange because we thought it was going to be a West Coast event, but it actually turned out to be Northeast Florida getting some of the worst destruction, the Jacksonville area. So we've actually got teams headed there. We got trucks headed there. And we've been distributing food in that area already.
Man, yeah, that really had to be tough to find out where you go first.
So, and you already had folks deployed out to Texas, is that correct?
Yeah, I was in Texas just 2 weeks ago myself.
Wow.
We had a team pre-staged there before the hurricane came through. And again, as soon as the hurricane had passed and we saw that the flooding was devastating that part of Texas, we had teams deployed and we're still working there in three different locations
and
delivering relief supplies. And we have a lot of volunteers coming in to help with cleanup.
Man.
So Are you getting spread thin at this point? I mean,
I would think
you probably haven't even scratched the surface in Florida.
Yeah, I mean we're really strapped. I mean, my title, as you read out, is the VP of International Programs.
Right.
Most of my work is overseas, but I've been called in to help out with the domestic team on this one, just because there's so much going on in America right now that they need all the help they can get. So, you know, all hands on deck. But we're having an impact. I mean, we've got this network of trucks that's perfectly positioned, and we're just moving a lot of product and helping a lot of people. So things are going well, you know, relatively well.
And how about the Caribbean, the islands that have been impacted? You don't hear too much about that. It's kind of gotten lost with the Florida situation.
Yeah, it did get lost, unfortunately. But, of course, we've seen a lot of destruction coming out of there. We have a team in Cuba that's been working flat out since the storm passed. Haiti sort of dodged a bullet on this one, but they did get some destruction. So we have our team in Haiti working on disaster relief there. And I'm currently doing an assessment on one of the outer leeward islands we might be able to help right now, because we've heard that there's so much need out there. So I'm working with a few teams to see what we can do out in those areas too.
Yeah, I guess St. Martin got hit pretty hard too.
Oh, it's St. John's. They're decimated.
Hey, David, I had a question for you about Operation Blessing itself. Can you give us kind of an overview of, just for the folks that don't know, about what you guys are all about?
Yeah, Operation Blessing was founded in 1978 by Pat Robertson, who himself was a former Marine.
I had no idea. Pat Robertson, he was a former Marine?
He was. Huh. I can't remember exactly which war. It was one of the Korean Wars that he served in. But
wow.
He's a Marine, and I think the name Operation Blessing comes from his experience in the military.
Right.
And so in 1978, he founded us to be a large humanitarian organization as part of his Christian Broadcasting Network. And ever since then, we've been working all over the world. We currently have offices in 22 different countries, and a team in the U.S. that responds to disasters every year. So we've got a lot going on, and we're helping a lot of people. And you check out our website at ob.org. You can read all about the great work we're doing around the world.
Yeah, and these times of disasters, and I've seen it in this guy over here, Jerry Newberry, who's volunteering for everything he can. He just had a Red Cross training yesterday. He's a member of Team Rubicon. Do you see that every time there's a disaster like this, where people are just really kind of anxious to get on board?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really beautiful thing to see how Americans come together in times like this. The outpouring of volunteers that we've had coming in. We've literally coordinated thousands of volunteers already in Texas that are just volunteering their time and their efforts to come in and help clean up, gut homes, help residents salvage their belongings. And hopefully we'll be doing that in Florida as well as soon as things get a little bit stable down there.
So your mission, you're not only short-term, helping to provide food and shelter, but also the long term, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. We deploy during the emergency phase, but then we help with the recovery effort. So we have trailers with all the tools that volunteers need to help clean homes, gut homes, make basic repairs. But then we also target families that might be in particularly devastating need, single moms, elderly that may have lost everything. And Operation Blessing will do complete home reconstruction for them, or extreme home makeover type work for them. So we're there all the way from the emergency right through to the finishing.
Oh, man. And I did see there was something, you talk about these special needs groups. There was a shelter that was set up in Florida just for pregnant moms. And I mean, there were like 22 of them in this shelter, and they had all the food and water and the supplies that they need. And especially in case, somebody had to give birth. I mean, those are some specialty situations. Do you guys get into that as well?
Well, we don't do the shelter work. We provide goods to the shelters. So just the day before Irma came through, we were out, and it already started raining and it was quite windy. We were out delivering supplies to shelters. Up in the Gainesville area in Ocala, they turned high schools into emergency shelters. You had a lot of people fleeing from the south who had gone north and where it could only have gotten that far, and they ended up sleeping in these schools. And one that we were serving was pet-friendly, and the principal of the school said that they had a bunch of dogs and cats, some fish, and even a couple of raccoons in the shelter. It was like they had their own zoo.
Well, as long as there are no pythons.
The raccoons weren't invited, but they were there anyway.
How about Mexico? I mean, Mexico had to be crazy damage there. But again, you don't hear anything about Mexico.
Irma really stole the show, but Mexico had the strongest quake they'd had in 100 years.
Yeah, it was like we have 8 point something.
It was 8.1.
Yeah, something like that. Wow.
Fortunately, it happened offshore, so the destruction wasn't as bad as it could have been. But still, they've had huge devastation down there, many, many deaths. And we have a team in Mexico, and they're there responding right now. And it actually happened close to the Guatemala border. And they had a lot of devastation there as well. So we have a team in Guatemala that's responding too. So we've got teams Wow. deployed all over the place right now. We have a team in Nepal that's responding to devastating flooding that they've had there. So, I mean, Operation Blessing is deployed everywhere.
And how about, something that's
crazy time for disasters.
Really been overlooked is the wildfires out west.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's almost
so
almost
somebody's mad.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Take a quick break. We'll be back right here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Operation Blessing. David Darg is the VP of International Disaster Relief. Hey, David, how many volunteers does Operation Blessing have?
Well, it fluctuates. We accept volunteers. We're accepting volunteers in Texas right now. And if you visit the website, if you're in the Texas area or potentially Florida, once we get set up and you want to help, then just visit the website, ob.org, and there you can sign up to volunteer and come down, and we'll give you all the tools that you need. And what we do is we work with local residents to take work orders. So they come to us and they say, we need trees removed from our yard, or I need my house gutted. And then what we do is we assign volunteers those work orders, and they go to the resident's home. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of work orders that we've already filled, but so much to do in Texas, so much to do in Florida. So we could really use volunteer help. If you visit the website, you can find out how to come down and join us.
Hey, David, when you and you're at all these disaster areas and you see the people that choose to stay after this, why? I mean, I know, okay, it's my home, but if you've somebody, especially in Florida where you suffered through, you know, disaster after disaster, and what is the mentality there where the people just refuse to leave?
Yeah, it was really a surreal phenomenon. When we arrived into Gainesville, we were driving down 75, Route 75 southbound, and we were the only car going southbound. Wow. Everyone else was going north.
Wow.
And it was, you know, all the gas had been dried up. It was very hard to find gas. So the good news is that a lot of people were leaving. But, of course, like you mentioned, you have those ones that are stubborn.
Right.
And I think the concern after Irma is because there wasn't as much damage as they had predicted, a lot of people might have thought that this was sort of crying wolf, you know, should we leave next time this happens?
Yeah, you're right.
They spent a lot of money and sat in a lot of traffic for nothing to happen. They may not be so inclined to do that next time. So that is a concern.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't know what goes through someone's head when they look at the news and see a Cat 5 bearing down on them and choose to stay. That's pretty risky.
Some people are just, let's face it, foolish.
And it's stubborn.
And some people don't have any frame of reference.
That's true.
I know some people been in Florida a couple years, and they thought, well, it's not going to be a big deal.
Because you've
never seen it.
Yeah. Well, David, listen, thank you for taking the time. I know you're very busy. Operation Blessing, great organization. And once again, go to the website, find out what is needed, and for volunteers, too. Really appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Take care.
You, too. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The National Defense is made possible by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense. And by Hilton Hotels. With over 10,000 veterans and military spouses hired in the last 3 years, Hilton offers a world of opportunity. Visit jobs.hilton.com/military.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And hey, I like it when we have something fun on the program.
Yeah, for change.
Yeah, and these guys are great. The GIs of comedy.
My only wish
is,
you know, you and I have been battling around for going on 12 years.
Yes.
We've been doing this show.
Right.
And you know, I know you think you're funny, but
who, me?
Yeah, but
no, I am funny.
We really need some humor.
You look funny. But Tom Tran is funny. Tom Tran is the guy that's got these guys together, the GIs of comedy. Tom, how are you?
Good morning. Once you guys said you were doing dedications, I thought we were going to do a Dick Clark thing and someone's going to talk about a dead kitten.
Yeah, here's another long-distance dedication from Tom Tran. Tom writes.
Fluffy.
Yes. Hey, Tom, first of all, what branch of service are you in? Were you in?
I was in the United States Army. I served from 1997 until 2005 when I was, after I was wounded in Iraq. In 2003, I stayed my 12-month tour in Iraq after being shot and then came home. They took me off the line unit, made me a recruiter. Well, they voluntold me to be a recruiter.
You're right, yeah.
And then...
Weren't you the guy that got shot in the head? You were shot in the head?
I did get shot in the head, yes.
Yeah.
My fourth day. Rumor was that someone's ex-girlfriend found out I was there, but that really wasn't me.
Well, Jerry, I got to tell you, Jerry was so disappointed because I said, we're going to have the GIs of comedy on. He goes, good, it's going to be real dark humor. And I said, no, it's really not that dark. And Jerry was so disappointed. He goes, oh, they're going to talk about cutting heads off. And hey, but I mean, do you guys do that?
Pretty dark.
Huh?
We're pretty dark, usually when we're watching like Stranger Things or something on Netflix. But I think one of the things that makes our group successful is that we can tell jokes and stories about our time in the military, and you don't have to be a veteran or in the military to get the joke.
Right, right. Jerry likes the shows where only he gets the joke. You know,
well, that's because
everybody else goes over their heads.
Well, exactly, and that's what happens when I try and tell jokes. I kill myself, that's and everybody right. else just looks at me.
That's right, exactly.
Well, that's called being a sociopath.
Hey, Tom, you guys had a big show last
that
night.
That was my ex-wife
in Los Angeles, and I heard it went pretty well. Larry King, and actually, it was presented, Jerry, by our buddy Bill Deutsch.
Bill,
yeah, who is the creator of Hiring America?
Who isn't from Detroit? Although he says he is,
yeah. But he's not. Yeah. But he hosted the program last night for these guys, and so how did it go?
It was a great time. Yeah, Bill Deutsch is fantastic. He has a show called Hiring America, which showcases companies that, want to put the message out there that veterans are some of the greatest employee assets that they can have.
Yeah.
And they want to showcase those companies and those organizations. And the GI of Comedy, I should say, being a veteran-owned, veteran-run organization, people ask us all the time, they're like, you guys are nonprofit, right? And like, no, we just don't make money. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, big difference. Yeah.
So, not on purpose.
Bill didn't try and suck you into buying him dinner, did he?
Yeah, that's usually
what
happens.
If you don't have any money
right
now, try taking that guy out to dinner.
Man, really?
Well, we did the show last night. We taped an episode of Hiring America to showcase some of the here in Los Angeles.
Cool.
Oh, good.
And, we used the opportunity to make a donation to a charity that we've been working with for about 5 years now called the Special Operations Warrior Foundation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Scholarship money for the children of special operations personnel that were killed in the line of duty. So we told some jokes, we made some people laugh, and we gave another big check to the foundation to help send kids to college.
That's fantastic.
That's cool. And Larry King, the iconic, still living Larry King, was the MC.
Larry King was awesome. First, that guy is 90 years old and sharp as a whip. The only other person I've met of his age who's just as sharp is Stan Lee. Stan Lee is kicking hard.
Yeah, yeah. Stan Lee still shows up for the Comic Cons.
Yeah, yeah.
All over the country. But did Larry King, during the show, did he stop and try to take a call from someone?
He stopped and started hitting on all the women in the room.
I believe that. Yeah.
Detroit, go ahead.
He was great. They were like, hey, Tom, when do you want Larry to bring you up? I'm like, right now. Do it right now. He's 90 years old. I don't know if he's going to be alive.
That's right. That's right. So, Tom, give us an idea of some of the things you talk about during the show. And how many? What, three comics?
Well, the group started with three comics. I have a dozen veterans of the U.S. military, all from different branches. Actually, three of my comics are still serving. One is a Air Force Reserve Lieutenant Colonel, just made Lieutenant Colonel last year.
Wow.
Another is an Army Reserve Major, and another one is an Army Reserve Master Sergeant. And the shows typically range, you know, 3 to 5 comics. Last night we had 5 comics. But like I mentioned earlier, we are great at telling jokes about anything that anybody can understand. You know, we don't just tell jokes about being in the military. We tell jokes about what our lives are, and our lives happen to be soldiers, sailors, airmen. Right. We're also, I play in a rock and roll band. We're nerds. We love Star Trek. We love comic books. We love sports. One of the guys has kids. The other one has another kid. The other one has a cat that's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
So we're comics, and we just talk about our lives like all comics do, but the one thing that ties us together is that we all served in the military honorably and dutifully, and we all loved it, and we still have a great reverence for it, which is why we still do this. And we are able to represent our branches and our services, our country and our flags, our uniforms, like we were still serving. And I run this group like an SF team. You know, you got to be the best of the best. I can find funny comics, but I need funny comics who can represent the country, the flag, the uniform, and this organization well without me being there. You know, I sent 6 guys to Afghanistan 2 months ago. I'm sending another group overseas next month. We've toured 19 countries in the last 3 years.
Wow.
And I haven't been there for most of them.
Wow.
Because I know these people will do their job. They'll do it well. They'll do it honorably. They will be funny, and they will crush it. And I don't have to worry about not being there to herd cats, which is
right.
what running a tour is like. And that's not even true, because cats are easier. I can open a can of tuna, and my cat will come running. With comedians, I need a lot of bail money and
yeah,
prayers.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing, Tom. You know, what's kind of funny about that is the whole world of comedy and comedians generally are guys and women that you can't rely upon. That you don't know if they're going to make it to the show. You don't know if they're going to be drunk when they get there.
Right.
You know, and so to have this troop of people who show up and do their job, that's got to be unusual in the comic world.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I pick the guys that I do. I mean, I've had other people on the team that didn't work out, you know, and I worked with an old SF captain one time who said, if you can't hang on the ODA, you get kicked back to the B team. And that's kind of how I run the team. If you can't perform the way I need you to and represent yourself as well. And again, I can't be there for all 19 countries. I have a job here in LA. I'm a television producer. I work on the radio. I'm married. So I need to be able to know that these guys will do their job well. And you're right. In the comedy community, comics are not regularly known as reliable people.
Right,
we are
yeah.
broken people right. in general. That's why we're the best comedians.
Yeah, that's right.
The
right.
most depressed people are the funniest comics.
But when
it comes to the GIs of comedy, knowing that we go out and represent other service members, veterans, people still in the uniform, I want to make sure these guys are going to stand tall and act right, even when I'm not there. And that's why this group stands out.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we can't overlook how important humor is, especially, you know, like if you're in a place like Afghanistan, wherever, I mean, you're in the military, you need some laughs because, you know, oftentimes go ahead.
Meaningful moments that have happened to me throughout the course of this tour. The first one happened after our first U.S. tour. We finished a 3-month, 12 Army base tour, and our last show was at Fort Riley, Kansas. And I went out after my set, and this private walked up to me and he said, "Hey, Sergeant," which was weird because I haven't been a sergeant in 10 years.
Right.
But he said, "Hey, Sergeant, you know, I haven't laughed since I got back from Afghanistan 3 months ago."
Wow.
It said, "I just wanted to sit in the barracks and drink, and my roommate made me come out." And he goes, "I laughed for the first time since I came home."
Well, yeah, you're at Fort Riley. I understand that laughing.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Right.
Jeez.
That's pretty good.
We had a lady in England. We did a show at one of the RAFs in England, and she said, "My husband just came back from overseas, and we haven't gotten along since he got back. He said, she said, this is the first time we've laughed together. And then she said, you guys saved our marriage. Like, she sent me an email that said, you saved our marriage.
That's
which
cool.
is
wow.
an unbelievable thing to hear. And as soldiers and service members, I tell people all the time, I can't kick down doors to jump out of planes anymore. But if I can help soldiers still, you know, the non-commissioned officer Creed, you know, one of the mission and the welfare of my soldiers is uppermost in my mind. And if I can still take care of soldiers by making them laugh and helping them with their families, good Lord, that's the least I can do.
That's, yeah, that's pretty
right
cool.
Right on.
That's pretty cool. Well, Tom, do you guys have, I'm sure you have CDs and other stuff available?
We have T-shirts and stuff that we sell on our website. Half the proceeds go to support the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. The other half goes to buy more stuff to be able to sell, to make to raise some money for the foundation. But one of the things, one of the reasons I created the group was because I wanted to show other service members and veterans that there's a life after the Army or whatever service you're in. You can do a thing once you take the uniform off, and I wanted people to see that. You know, we are a group of veterans who love the military. Some of us are still in, and we do this awesome thing now, and it's hard for a lot of us when we get back and try to transition into a civilian life, especially when we weren't planning on it. I wasn't planning on getting shot. I wasn't planning on leaving the Army after a decade. I was planning on making it a career. So when that change happened, I didn't have anyone showing me that there was a thing that I could do after. There were a few veterans right. that I knew were working, but none of them were showcased the way I want the GI's comedy to showcase that. I want people to be able to see this, veterans and their families especially, to go, look, you can leave the military and do something great, whether it's comedy or going back to school or being a doctor or being a cook or having a family. You can still do a good thing and still support your fellow service members. And I want them to have an outlet to share their stories. I'm working on a new podcast series called Battle Scars that Panoply just greenlit. We're going to series starting in November. And that series is going to be an opportunity for veterans to come on who, you know, not everybody can be a stand-up comic, but they're going to be able to come on this show and tell their story.
All right, Jerry. Here's your chance.
Oh, I got stories.
Here's your chance. Yeah.
I got so many stories.
Oh, well, we know you do. That's pretty cool. Hey, Tom, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Tom Tran, the GIs of comedy, right here in the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry and Tom Tran is with us. He's the creator of GIs of Comedy, which is a great idea. You know, the other thing that I think about when you talk about GIs of Comedy, and that's the website, by the way, gisofcomedy.com. But it used to be, you know, a long time ago when people were on TV and they were comics that had served in the military, you'd hear people doing jokes about the military and doing jokes about the service.
That was my assumption.
Yeah. But you'd never hear that anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, even guys that have served, if they're doing comedy, they're not talking about their service. You know, they're not talking about what happened.
Well, that was my assumption that GI comedy would be talking about basic training and
I'm sure they do somewhat, but it used to be kind of the norm, you know, with some of the old comics that had served, they would talk about stuff that in the military and the things they did.
Yeah.
And
this is why I see that change, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Like the days when Bob Hope he was synonymous with military comedy.
Right.
And I think that, and this is based on completely unscientific research, but those comics that did serve honorably and then turned their careers towards comedy, they were serving during wars where support for the military was high. World War II, the greatest generation.
Sure.
You know, people gave up their lives. They created victory gardens. Recycled aluminum to make airplanes.
Yep.
Those were wars with a lot of public support. And then Korea and Vietnam happened, and the draft happened. And a lot of people who did later become comics, they didn't maybe necessarily have the greatest or most honorable military career.
Right.
And you're not going to, like, we talk about the military because we love it. Ben Grant and Tom Lennon, who created Reno 911, they helped us produce a TV special. One of the greatest things I've ever heard from Tom Lennon about our show was, or actually it was from Ben Grant, who said, look, these guys clearly love the military, and they show it in their jokes. So I feel like that generation between, like, maybe the late 60s into the early 80s and 90s, where people, yeah, they served, but they didn't have a great experience in the military.
Right.
I love the Army. I still love the Army. That's why I do this. I have a 21-year Air Force Lieutenant Colonel who's still in. I have an 18-year Army Major who's still in. And one of the things that I demand of these guys that are on this group is that you serve honorably. Because if you did, that means you had a positive experience in the military, that you love it, and then you can share that love with the world. You know, I think that's the difference between us now and the wars before us.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, for you guys to go out and kind of personify that is a really cool thing. Tom, listen, thank you so much for being on. Tom Tran, the GIs of Comedy, and go to GIsofComedy.com. We got to get you out here to Kansas City.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a team actually over at Fort Riley. They were there in August doing an event, Victory Fest.
But you, we have comedy clubs here, too, though.
Yeah, in Kansas City, at Fort Riley. What do you want to send somebody there for?
I'll make a point to get back out there.
Okay,
cool.
Tom, thank you so much, and thanks for the time. Thanks for your service.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
So proud.